McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Oh, minus 2-0. He's not joking, is he? I mean, like, it is. Sorry to keep saying this every night when I come on, but I just can't get the heat into me. It is cold. It is Niall Boylan with you right through to midnight tonight. Lots to get through tonight. Including, of course, yes, we will be talking about that election. Also, illegal money lenders. This is the time of the year. Sadly, they operate, but are they a necessary evil for some people who otherwise probably couldn't get credit? They generally lend to people who are on social welfare or have bad credit. Also, what's the worst and best Christmas present you got? Because I have a text from a listener whose missus told him, look, you don't have to get me anything this year. It's okay. It's okay. Now, lads, can I just say one thing to you? If your wife says, don't get me anything this year, make sure you get her something, okay? She doesn't actually mean that. That's just a nice way of her being nice. But she does. And the other thing is, don't buy her sexy underwear and go, what do you think of that, love? Isn't that great? Because you know as well as I do, that's not for her. That's for you to ogle at her. That's, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, women don't really, I don't know, I'm not a woman. You know, but I'm pretty sure they don't like wearing sexy underwear all the time because it's probably reasonably uncomfortable. Not that I've ever worn it. That all came out wrong, didn't it? I'm just saying, you know, all those kind of frilly bits all over it and everything, they're probably not comfortable. And I'm sure they don't like wearing a G-string that's like a piece of twine for the whole day while they're in work or something like that. We'll get around to talking about that later on. And also on a more serious note, by the way, Christmas is on the way, of course. A lot of people are going to be going out for drinks. You heard the warning during the news about drink driving. That, of course, is big on the agenda. Operation Lifesaver every year on Garda Síochána stops so many people who still take the risk. But the other big risk, of course, is ladies. And I got to say to ladies, is drink spiking. Reported cases are constantly up all the time. Guys who are predators, who try and take advantage of women, it does happen, it still happens. Please be careful. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on to somebody who was a victim of it. Now, the election. What can I say? As the count in the election 2024 continues, it's still going on, for God's sake. It's like America. 2 weeks' time, we'll be still doing recounts. 172 TDs of the 174 have been elected. And counting is completed in 42 constituencies out of 43. I think it's almost finished now, actually, probably the latest. Fianna Fáil currently have the most amount of seats, followed by Fine Gael and Sinn Féin. Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, out the gap, gone. Lost a seat after being eliminated in Wicklow in the early hours of today. Today, actually. That was this morning, kind of thing. It was late last night, wasn't it? The government's most high-profile casualty, I suppose. And the Dáil's longest-serving TD, Bernard Durkin, Fine Gael, loses his seat after 42 consecutive years. A career politician, gone. So there was a few changes. The Green Party eliminated, annihilated, with the exception of Roderick O'Gorman, who barely scraped in, and I will say literally scraped in the door. So he is back, but just about, and I think he should be humbled that he's actually back in a job. Grainne Shogue, of course, didn't make it and said she wants to take a break before deciding if she wants to remain in politics. Maybe Grainne's first time out, you know, I don't know, didn't do it. Probably take a break from politics. You weren't in politics in the first place to take a break from politics. So, I mean, you know what I mean? How could you take a break from politics when you're not in politics? That'd be like me saying, I'm going to take a break from politics. You know, that old EU campaign that took a lot out of me. Anyway, we'll be talking about all that. And we also want to talk about the fact that so many people didn't go to the polls. And, of course, last Friday saw the polling stations open for the Irish general election. And to be honest, it has resulted in more of the same. More of the same: housing problems, immigration fiasco, healthcare chaos, and woke ideologies, if you want to go down that road too. It's almost, and I said it on Twitter over the weekend and got a good reaction to it, a case of Stockholm syndrome with the electorate. 71% of the electorate, according to a Red Sea poll, or was it an Ipsos poll, going back a little while ago, a very short time ago, actually said that they wanted radical change, yet that's not what they voted for. Or is it because there was such a low turnout at the polls? Voter turnout fell despite the public campaign by the Electoral Commission and the registration of 400,000 new voters. They obviously didn't go out and vote. National turnout was less than 60%, which is even lower than the general election in 2020. So what happened? If there was 400,000 new people registered to vote and yet less people actually voted, What actually happened? Did they just not bother their arse? So, look, I think it's time we looked at fines for people who don't show up and vote on polling day. I mean, do you think that we should copy Australia when it comes to issuing fines? Do you think that would help increase the turnout? Would forcing people to vote actually make a difference? Because I really believe the people who wanted that change are the people who are not registered to vote. When you look at working class areas of this country, particularly in Dublin, I can only speak for Dublin, I suppose, because I live there, but when you look at the working class areas, you know, the likes of Ballymun, Darndale, Ballyfermot, Finglas, they all have the lowest turnouts. And they always do. They really always do. I don't know exactly the turnouts for each of those constituencies, but they always do have the lowest turnouts. Why? Why is that? I'm kind of a little bit taken back by that. I also want to hear what you think about the result. Were you surprised? Are you happy with the results? Do you think, well, we're in for 5 more years of the same? Do you think the government will last? Do you think that we have too many representatives in the Dáil? Of course, Ireland, by head of population, probably has more TDs, councillors, senators, than any other country. More public representation than any other country in the world, probably. Is it a case of too many cooks spoiling the broth? So I want to know what you think. Should we bring in mandatory voting? Would that make a difference? And while you're on, I want to hear your, I suppose, your kind of breakdown of what happened over the weekend and the results. Let me know. The number, as usual, 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me first of all go to Jim if I can. Jim, hi, how are you?
Hello there, Niall. How are you? Good night to you. Thanks for having me on and good evening. Good night to your listeners.
Okay, good to hear you too, Jim. Are you shocked, surprised, or did you just expect to be 5 more years of the same? Is that what you expected?
Well, I was very taken with Henry Ford's quote about if you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got. And it does seem to be much of the same. And I suppose the reality is with the major parties, there's very little to distinguish them from each other. And there's a huge level of apathy, particularly amongst young people. I've been a teacher for the last 30 years and I certainly have my finger on the pulse with them and a lot of them tell me very little interest, you know.
But here's the thing, right? We all the time sort of blame young people a little bit and say they should know more about politics. I think young people probably know more about politics now than we did when we were kids. Up to the age of 17, I couldn't have told you who the Taoiseach was. I didn't know.
I remember the only bit
of political experience I had as a kid was Erskine Childers. That's how old I am. Erskine Childers came to visit the school and we thought this was great. And he was running for election at the time. So that's how long ago that was. You know, so that, I mean, apart from that, I had no idea.
And there's no doubt, Niall, they have access to a huge body of information that you and I didn't have access to. And look, it's the job of politicians to encourage the interest and catch their attention. That's our problem, mm-hmm. I suppose, not theirs. But, you know, realistically, were teenagers ever particularly interested in politics? Mm. I don't know. But I think as a teacher, I would say there is a greater apathy abroad today than there was in the past.
I think you're a local councillor yourself, aren't you, for Aintu?
I'm a local councillor for Aintu and I ran in the general election. I'm the Cathaoirleach of Ross Lair.
Okay. Yeah, just for full transparency. Doesn't matter anyway, but it's all over now.
You what?
I said just for full transparency. Not that it matters. It's all over now.
No, look,
Patter did okay. You know, and they got another seat. Yeah. Aintu got a second seat.
Patter did okay. And personally speaking, like, this party is very new. I got into this 5.5 years ago. I was first elected in Wexford with 777 votes, and I walked out of the count yesterday with 5,076. Mm-hmm. So nobody could be disappointed with that rate of growth.
And by the way, I'm surprised you didn't get a seat with those kind of vote, with that amount of votes.
Well, I was just outside. You see, I was just outside the pack.
Did you get the quota? By the way, you got the quota. I'm assuming.
No. Didn't get the quota. I know if I got the quota, I was in, but well, yeah, I certainly got my expenses back.
That's what I'm saying, the quota for expenses. You got that back, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, at least that's something. Yeah. You get your money back anyway. That's the main thing.
So
why is it? Is it a case of, you know, like me, dad, my father, you know, Fianna Fáil could have burnt the country down and my father would still vote for them and say, oh, don't worry, they'll fix it tomorrow. So, I mean, is it a case of, is that still happening, particularly in rural Ireland, where you see my father voted for them, my father voted for his son before that, and all that kind of carry on. Is that the way it works still?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt it is. I mean, we've put back the same in Wexford, albeit we lost the Fine Gael TD. It was a five-seater in South Wexford. It was a five-seater in Wexford. It became a four-seater in South Wexford, three-seater in North Wexford. So, yeah, there's no doubt. It's very hard to break tradition, and it's hard to build a new party and offer people something new. But as I say, I mean, you can work out the percentages. If you come from 777 to 5,076 in the course of 5 years, it does point towards people are looking for something different and looking for...
But here's the other thing too, Jim. The media play a huge role in this. Huge role in getting people elected. And we've seen the classic example of that was Gerry Hutch. So Gerry Hutch almost got elected. I was hoping towards the end he would, because it would have been funny. But here's the thing. He almost got elected. But the media are the ones to blame for that. I mean, they rallied around him for 3 weeks. Here's a man turns up out of nowhere 3 weeks before an election, announces that he's running. And he comes from nowhere, and he's all over the front of every newspaper on a regular basis. So why wouldn't he get the amount of votes he did?
I have often said at council meetings afterwards, the most powerful man in the room or most powerful lady in the room is the one writing for the paper.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
If they decide to run with the story, it's a story. If they decide not to, it's not to. And as you say, in relation to Gerry Hutch, I mean, they put him front and centre and gave him a huge amount of hype. No, there's no doubt about that. And I often wonder, should there be a responsibility on the press to, like, I would find in Wexford that the place of the fishermen, the place of the farmers, no longer gets the headlines like it once did.
Yeah.
And
it's
covered, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is a huge problem. I think the media have a huge responsibility. And when we see the debates happening on television... And the assumption in the debates, because you have leaders' debates, you have the three leaders, you know, Mary Lou, Simon Harris and Micheál Martin. So there's an assumption that these three are going to be back again. But which one of them is going to be the Taoiseach is always the question. So there's that kind of assumption that these three will be the main parties.
Absolutely. And we saw it with the referendum earlier on that then none of them are afraid to stray too far for fear. You know, for fear they'd lose votes, for fear they'd lose the... And what we offer is a braver stance. We said, no, we're not in favour of it. This is where we stand.
Yeah.
Regardless of the outcome, this is our interpretation. And we were brave and we interpreted it correctly and the people seemed to acknowledge that. So that's what attracted me to that party, that it's a party where you know where you stand, you know.
And before I just move on to the next caller, Jim, do you believe that, you know, when you look at the turnouts for general elections, you know, they're kind of low in some areas, particularly in working class areas. Do you believe that, say, the Australian model and some other countries do similar things where they will ban you from the next four elections if you don't turn up or whatever it is, you know, that a fine maybe for not turning up and voting? Should there be a fine? Unless you have a good excuse, of course.
Look, the fine is neither here nor there. The apathy derives out of the fact that people have heard politicians debate back and forth, trade statistics, and nothing changes. Like, I saw the greatest interest arrive in housing in Wexford in the last couple of weeks by parties who were barely attending the housing meetings. I attended a housing meeting today where there was very few people there.
But see, when I went when I was campaigning in the European, but when I campaigned in the European elections, if I was to go by the amount of people I met who said they'd vote for me, I should have got a job in Europe, right? But the problem is, those people who were telling me, oh yeah, I'm going to vote for you, no, well done, listening to the radio all the time. Yeah. Those people were in Clondalkin, Ballyfermot, Ballymun, Finglas, you know, Edenmore, where I come from originally. They were all in those working class areas. And the problem is, when I looked at the turnouts in those areas, it was like 25 to 35%. You know what I mean? That's low. It's one in four people out to vote.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in rural parts, like where I represent, I've seen that apathy amongst the fishermen, for example, where they're promised there'll be change, there'll be change, there'll be change. People get elected and they forget to speak up for them.
Yeah, well, stay there for a second because James, sorry, Gina and Sean, I'll be with you in a second as well. James, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall, good evening.
How are you doing?
Just a quick one I'll say to you. I'll get to the fines now in a minute. The first thing I'll say to you, Niall, is it took America hours to count their election, as in it was 8 o'clock airtime, 3 o'clock airtime, yeah. And it was confirmed. And another thing is the fine thing. You can find, it's another way of taxation as well, but you can find people, but like a lot of people could be sick of this, that, the other. Plus, it's confusing. The election itself is confusing.
Confusing in what sense? Well, one of only two countries, Ireland and Malta, who use this form of voting or this form of electoral system.
Yeah, it needs to be done away with because like we've got 10 parties at least, right? Maybe 12 parties. And that's too many parties. And most of them are on the left and anyway, centre left.
But changing the voting system is not going to fix that.
Well, it's changing the voting system as far as count packs and all that, and transfer votes.
You look at
Jerry Hutch. Jerry Hutch was 2,000 ahead at one stage. He got more first preference votes than Sherlock. But she gets
transfers from the left. Yeah.
There was 4,000 transfers left, and there was three other candidates.
I could argue, James, I was in the same position in the European elections. I stayed in till the 19 count, which was the last count. And if it wasn't for the fact that Ayanna Reardon got 14,000 transfers from the Green Party, I would have got elected.
So you think that's okay, all them transfers and all them...
Well, I don't think it's okay, but that's the system we have, and we're all stuck with the same system, aren't we? Do you know, every party has to suffer the same system.
The post is the most fair system to me, first past the post.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, how can somebody, there have been people that didn't get in, that got first preference votes ahead of somebody that did get in. And when you look at, when you look at 10 constituencies or so in Ireland, in Dublin.
Yeah.
10 constituencies, right? So we say, forget about the 5 candidates in each of them. You say 4 candidates. That's 40 TDs for Dublin. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then you look at...
There's an extra 14 this year, of course, because of the change in the geography. So there's 174 seats this year.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Jim, by the way. We've more councillors, TDs and senators in this country, more public representation than any other country per head of population. We don't need that many people. I don't think so, anyway.
Here's the question for you, Niall, and you probably know better than me. Can you explain to me what a junior minister means? What's that all about? I know it gives you a pension because you're a junior minister.
Yeah,
and
I
if
know.
You actually have a look online at what these junior ministers do, I tell you, you couldn't make it up.
Yeah, well, he's kind of like, you're the Minister for Education. We wanted to give you the job, but we couldn't really. Yeah. He's here longer, so we gave it to him. So I tell you what, you can be kind of his apprentice. So you can be a junior minister. Yeah.
You know how many there is, Noel?
I don't know how many junior ministers there is now.
I'll tell you how many there is. The 17 junior ministers getting full ministerial.
Do they get a full ministerial pay? I don't know if they get full ministerial pay.
Well, they get all the perks, but probably a bit less. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag or anything like that, but I know somebody really, really close to me that works for the government in the pay department and the pension department and whatever. And some of the expenses and all these people get.
Oh, you wouldn't be letting cats out of bags because it's public knowledge. It has to be public knowledge. I mean, like Jim's money is public knowledge. His expenses are public knowledge. I can find out tomorrow how much Jim claimed in expenses last year.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's just the way it is.
When you've got two major parties like Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil, right? And Sinn Féin, right? When you got them, right, and you got 10 different parties, right, probably 11 parties at the moment, it's very confusing. Like you think you're wasting your vote just voting for somebody that's like, but I would vote. But you know what, Lord, I couldn't vote this year. You know why? I went over and he said I wasn't on the register. I'd hardly take myself off. I'm living in the same area 45 and a half years.
Yeah. And I know that happened to a few people. Yeah.
Here's the thing, you know, this is how bad this country is, and it's not progressing in any department. My mother got her a fall in cash, she passed away 6 years ago, but I didn't get mine.
Right.
And I have my suspicions on the old Jerry thing as well with Sherlock.
It was unfortunate. You know, as I said, he arrived here 3 weeks before the election. He used up whatever 5,000 or 6,000 votes, which could have gone to somebody else who may not have been on the left, because it's all left. It's left leaning that seems to get in. But
here's a very important point with the elections, right? Very important point. Darragh O'Brien gets back in homeless, and the homeless is just going up and up and up.
Hang on. In fairness to Darragh O'Brien, and I never ever give credit to people within the government, you know, you have to say, like, he was handed a piece of shit. It's very hard to fix something that's extremely badly broken. And I think he's...
I don't think he put a gun to his head, Noel.
No, but hold on. I do believe he's making an effort, and I do believe he's trying. I don't believe he's doing the worst job in the world.
That's what he came and say, it's his job.
No, absolutely, but he was handed a poison chalice, James. You know what I mean?
I suppose the health of poison chalice then as well.
Yeah, but he's gone. Well. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, well, he was always a kind of
twat,
wasn't he?
Oh, well, you have your own opinion on him, but some people think he's done a great job. Other people thought he was useless. Anyway, stay there for a second if you want to, lads. I want to come to Gina and Sean, but I have to take a break. I do apologise, Gina and Sean, for keeping you waiting for so long, but I will be switching straight after the break, I do promise you, all right? All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008 if you want to get involved. James, hang on for a second. I'll be back to you in a second. Gina, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? My name is Gina McNamara.
Gina, nice to talk to you.
I'm a disability advocate here in Galway, and I've been following all the counts in Galway West, Galway East, Galway Mayo, Roscommon. Galway Roscommon. We had 3 constituencies here.
Yeah. And were you happy with the result?
Well, I'm not impressed with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil getting back in again. But what did they do for people with disabilities?
Well, that, of course, came up before the election. Know? Yeah, it was a big thing, of course, when Simon Harris was challenged in relation to that, of course. And ignore that poor woman, practically. But he did apologise. Exactly. He did apologise afterwards. But you are right. They've done very little for people with disabilities.
And I think I am a disability for a long time around Galway. And I was at the count centre in Galway West last night. They didn't finish filling the seats and some more the other constituencies as well.
Mm.
It was like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, they still haven't quite finished anyway, Gina. It's still going on. But it does take a few days sometimes because there's a lot of counting to be done. But in saying that, Gina, do you believe that people who didn't vote, because I don't know what the turnout in Galway was, but I'm assuming it was lower than 50%, do you believe that, you know, people who don't vote should be fined?
I think there's a lot of points in relation to that, but there's a lot of people who are elderly and people with disabilities that may not be able to access the polling booths. They may not be able to, as I'm nearly blind, for example, and the Vision Ireland, which is used to be NCBI, templates are not fully accessible for the long page. Like, we had 17 candidates for Galway West, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and even with the councillors' election a few months ago, there was 20-something on the page.
That's right,
it wasn't fixed.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to? It's just very, very stressful.
Yeah, particularly, and it is done in Braille as well on the page, I think, isn't it?
There is Braille, but a lot of people who are blind or visually impaired don't use Braille.
Okay.
There's only a small number. So in that regard, I don't think people should be fined. I know people might be interested.
Well, then should we try and make it easier for people, particularly with people with disabilities, to rather than getting to a polling station? What about, you know, obviously in America they use mail-in votes quite a lot. Should we have more mail-in votes?
There is a postal election, postal...
Vote, yeah.
A vote, yeah, sorry. Sorry, no. That means trying to apply on time. And I have spoken to a few people. They thought they were on the register, but they weren't because it was the wrong address. And I said, you know, why didn't you double-check it?
Mm.
You go to the register.ie, I think, isn't it?
That's right, check the register.ie, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, but there's a lot of people who are elderly and people with disabilities throughout the country. Like, I know Dublin and your area have a huge area. Now, Galway has a big enough area too. So I think, generally, those people should not be penalised. No.
Okay, I get that. Gina, thank you very much indeed. Sorry, James, you wanted to say something very quickly before I go to Sean. Thank you, Gina. Go ahead, James.
Hi, how you doing, Noel? My name's Thomas. James just gone to the toilet. I just wanted to make a couple of points, if you don't mind.
Well, I tell you what, Thomas, I'll come back to you in a second then, because that wouldn't be fair on Sean because he's waiting longer. Sorry, I thought James just wants to make a point before you go.
It's just about not voting. This was the first election that I haven't voted in 32 of votes since I was 18. And the reason I consciously didn't vote, and the reason why, it's because young people, particularly around my age cohort, are so disillusioned with the lack of an alternative. I mean, there's 3 good major parties today. There's Fianna Fáil.
There's plenty of independents who are alternative.
That's the problem. There's no realistic alternative. You've got
Where do you live, James? What constituency do you live in?
Dublin Midwest.
Okay.
I mean, it's a war of acronyms with all the political parties. Who do you vote for? Yeah, they come around once in a while looking for your votes.
Well, forget about the ones that are coming around once in a while looking for your votes. Look down the sheet and see what independents, represent your...
What's the point in voting?
But if everybody thought like that, there'd be no point in voting at all.
Well, where's the alternative? Why can't the left get together and form a coalition and one block so they can put pressure on the government? Where's the... everybody knew Fianna Fáil was going to get...
When you say why, what do you mean the left? There's plenty of left-leaning politicians. Plenty of them.
Plenty of fragmentation on the left. Plenty of disconnect on the left.
But look at the right. The right is just full of independents and small parties.
Exactly.
Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would be considered left at this stage.
Well, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. No wonder Micheál Martin looked so confident at the election. He knew he was going to be Taoiseach. He has his 20% base, as does Simon there. Harris. They knew they were getting elected. They knew they were getting back 20% each. That's their base. So who are we supposed to vote for? You've got all these lefty parties, socialist parties, Labour. Why is there a Labour and a Social Democrat? They're one party. They believe in the same thing, but no, it's all who's the biggest lefty, and they all want to have their own little grandstand in their own little political party. It's a joke.
I don't disagree with you that Labour and Social Democrats are more or less the same party. The proof of that was today when Ivana Bacik said she wouldn't go into power with the government unless the Social Democrats went with her. James or Thomas, stay there for a second because I need to let Sean have a say and I'll come back to you. Stay there. Thomas, Sean, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Noel? Good afternoon. Good evening.
Yeah, sorry for keeping you so long, Sean. I do apologise.
You're okay. I know, and it's going to be a good one, Noel. The fact of the matter is, Noel, okay, I tell you what, yes, I do. People should be fined. Now, I listened to what Regina said, and I get that. Regina or anybody else that's how would I put it, disability boys. Now, here's another thing, Noel. I wanted to address that. People that have disabilities, should have transport in them areas for people that want to vote, if they do, if they don't have their own transport.
Or a postal vote. They should be able to register. They should all be able to register for a postal vote.
Whatever the fact. But the thing about it is, Noel, what I say is this. It's only 5 years, every few years, that we do get to vote. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't, say it's like court duty, if you don't show up, you better damn have a good excuse for it. And maybe you're not well or this, that, you know. You need a doctor's letter for that. And still going. But that's the case that if you don't vote, it's €200 fine. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, but Thomas said he didn't vote because there was no one to vote for.
I heard him. And I tell you, that's the most biggest bullshit I've ever heard. So that's why he is bigger. Hold on, Thomas. This is why these bigger parties are winning and winning every day of the week, every election. Because it's like you, Thomas, that aren't putting yourself out there.
This is nuts. Fining people. That's totalitarian. I didn't vote because I protested. You're entitled to a protest in any democracy.
I tell you what, James, a good protest is to go to the polling station, get your polling sheet, and put an X to it. That's they spoil your vote if you want to.
Why should I have to vote if I don't want to vote?
But Thomas, you're not making sense, Thomas. So you're on voting and then you're giving them the power, Thomas. That's what it is. It's a simple fact.
They have the power because they have a divided political system. The government are licking their lips at the division amongst the opposition.
Thomas, can I just say something to you, Thomas? Thomas, let's say something to you. The guy that I voted for, Thomas, in my local constituency got in, and I'm delighted with that. And the fact of the matter, and he's not Fianna Fáil, he's not Fine Gael, he's not Labour. The fact of the matter
Thomas,
I went down and I used my vote, and a lot of people did in my constituency. And the reason why he got in is because of us that could open off our asses and we voted for him. And here's the thing, Thomas, he's a great guy in here, there. He does what he does, and he's always done.
So, is he an independent or is he a part of a political party?
He's an independent.
So, why is he an independent? Why can't he join a political party? Why can't he join a political party and go in?
James, the whole idea of being independent is that you don't agree with the policies of a political party. Now, look. James, if everybody had that attitude and we didn't vote for independence, the smaller parties would never exist because they get formed from smaller independents. I mean, you take the likes of Aintu, who's a small party. Okay, they've only got 2 TDs now, right? Don't have any huge amount of power, but at least they can stand up in the Dáil and ask questions. Absolutely. The same as any independent can stand up and challenge the government. And we get to hear that. That then goes on the television or it's in a newspaper or we talk about it on the show. So they get to challenge the government on your behalf.
Absolutely.
That's the whole point of it.
But is it not better to challenge the government in a block of people, of like-minded
absolutely,
people.
Absolutely, but you will never you will never have that block of people unless enough independents get elected and are like-minded and come together. That's how AIM2 happened. That's how Independent Ireland happened. And it might take them time to build a bigger party, but it's up to people like you to get out and vote for them.
No. All due respect, like, we thought that, like, it might take them time. In the last 4 or 5 years, how many political parties have propped up? Like, you've got the Socialist Workers' Party, you've got the Social Democrats, you've Labour, People Before Profit, AIM2. I mean, the Social Democrats were supposed to be an alternative to Labour. AIM2 was supposed to be an alternative to Sinn Féin. Why do we need so many alternatives?
I don't think AIM2 are meant to be an alternative to Sinn Féin. Pat O'Tobin left Sinn Féin for that reason.
From Sinn Féin, but why can't these people get together, agree a mandate?
I think Pat O'Tobin is a great guy.
Yeah.
You know? And the fact of the matter is that
India is the biggest population in the world.
Yes, Thomas,
they agree to left-wing coalition.
Thomas, you lost your say the minute you said you didn't vote. That's what
no,
you did.
No, I didn't.
That's exactly what you
no,
did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I'm saying right now very clearly.
You did. You have no say.
You have no say when you vote for an independent.
You have no say whatsoever, Thomas. You have no, and there's plenty of people out there like you that, oh no, I didn't vote. Why? Because I sure couldn't be arsed. Sure, it was going to be Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and Sinn Féin anyway.
That's the point, Thomas, yeah.
Well, boy, fucking Jesus, Thomas. You lost
my
you
argument.
Lost
is, sorry, excuse me. Excuse
you
me.
You know,
my
you argument, lost your argument, Thomas.
You
it's gone.
Play,
it's out the window.
Just, can I get a point in, please? My argument is that you're asking why did so many people not turn up to the vote? And my answer is to that, and my personal answer to that, and from people I'm speaking to, is because we're disillusioned with so many political parties, all the fragmentation within the political system, and it's extremely confusing to vote for. You're completely disillusioned. Nobody inspires the people in the online social generation, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. In the millennials, I suppose that's what you call us. Like, who's there to vote for? Like, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they have their base. All these other fragmented parties, they need to join together.
But hey, James, if you look at the last, if you look at the last 30 years, that base is slowly getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I mean, if you go back, say, 30 years ago, and I'll get AJ to check, I imagine that Fianna Fáil would have probably had about 40% of the vote.
When do you think? Agreed.
Yeah.
And I agree.
So those bases are getting smaller. Yeah.
And the political system is getting worse and worse and worse because these fragmented parties can't capitalize on the decline of the bigger parties. They all want to go off and run their own political party and be the heads of their own political party and be the biggest socialist or be the biggest right winger.
Yeah, but you can't just, James, you know, okay, a lot of people claim that Ireland is too left for too long, right? And maybe there should be some sort of conservative party. Fair enough, right? So, but you can't just invent a conservative party tomorrow with like 20 TDs in it. It takes time.
Why can't they coalesce?
I'm not disagreeing with you. Maybe Independent Ireland, AIM2, and a few independents like the Healy Rays, what have you, Matty McGrath, maybe they should all get together. Absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Labour and Social Democrats should just get together. No, I don't mean to be flippant about that.
I'm not disagreeing with that point. But they obviously have differences of opinion on certain things, and that's why they won't go together.
Very little.
Well,
it's all about who wants a bigger job.
There's no difference between Labour, I suppose, and Social Democrats.
It's ridiculous, Mitch. You know, it's ridiculous. Like, if Labour and the Social Democrats were together in this election, they could have gotten a fairly decent block in the government. Like, it's a joke.
Yeah. Sorry, Sean. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say this, and I'll tell you this, Niall. You find the 200 quid if you don't turn up. And if there's something wrong with you, if you're not well, and you can't attend a voting station, that's okay. You know, if you have proof of that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you should be fine. And I tell you that. It should be the same as I say.
Who spent that money? Because I wouldn't trust this government to spend it. Can't even build a leading bike shed for a
new car. You don't have a say. You didn't even vote. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, if you wanted to protest, Thomas, what you should have done was gone to the polling station and spoiled your vote. You shouldn't have not turned up. You know, Sean is right. Technically speaking, you shouldn't even have an opinion because you didn't bother voting.
Well, you're asking me why do people not turn up and vote, and I'm giving you an answer, and I feel like I just couldn't.
No, the reason I believe a lot of people didn't turn up to vote is because they couldn't bother their arse.
Couldn't be.
Well, why did they not turn up last time then?
Right.
No, because they
couldn't
exactly
be. What happened.
No, they just couldn't be arsed, James. That's all. That's the reason people didn't vote.
What happened?
That's an easy answer.
Oh, the train.
Can I ask you a question? Sorry, Jay, I didn't call you James. I meant to call you Thomas. Sorry, Thomas. Can I ask you a question? How old are you?
Thomas,
32.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're still quite young.
I voted every election since I was 18, now. I voted in every single election. I've always voted. I was involved in...
It's only three elections, realistically.
I'm just completely disillusioned with it.
Yeah, it's only three elections, in fairness.
Thomas, do you know what I am? I tell you what I am, Thomas. I'm quite annoyed that you feel that you didn't go out to vote and that you feel disillusioned. Now, Thomas, here's the thing, and I will say this to you. We've all been given plenty of time. We were all given plenty of time to check the electorate that we were on the electorate. Not in your case, but I heard other people saying this.
Well,
we had plenty of time to check. But the fact of the matter is, Thomas, you could have voted for somebody that you said, okay, look, he's not too bad. He's doing all right in my area. I go out and vote for him. You had that choice, Thomas. You did. You did have that choice. And you didn't use it.
Who's done all this?
Are you telling me there's not one single politician in your constituency running that represented some of your views?
I'm interested in national politics, not regional politics.
No, I'm not talking about local elections. I'm talking about general elections. You're telling me there wasn't one single politician deserving of being a TD and standing in the Dáil to represent you? Are you telling me there wasn't one in your area?
We're too localised. That's too parochial in this country. That's the problem.
No, they're not.
That's why you saw many independents.
Of course there was.
Some of them are parochial, but not all of them. We're not all living in Kerry. Stay there, because I know the Healy Rays, and in fairness, the Healy Rays, parish pump politics, they call it. They do a great job for the locals down there. That's why they get elected all the time. Anyway, stay there for a second. I want to come to Danielle after the break as well. All right, AJ's giving out to me. I have to be quicker with everybody. Thomas or James or whatever your name is at the moment, just stay there for a second.
Thomas,
okay, stay there for a second. Danielle, hi, how are you?
I'm good, Niall. How's it going?
Good, Danielle. Nice to talk to you. Danielle, did you go out and vote?
I did.
Okay.
And you know something? I was very unsure who I was voting for, but I found people on the ballot page.
Okay. So people that kind of were like-minded or agreed with some of your policies or some of your thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
And
like the independents.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was, in relation to the result, by the way, were you happy with the result? Was it what you expected or are you disappointed?
I'm disappointed. But sure, Lucas, if you don't go out and vote, nothing's going to ever change in this country.
Well, Thomas believes there's no point because there was nobody out there that represented his views.
That's a load of crap because I was the same. I didn't know. I was getting the leaflets through the door and then I looked at the ballot page and I went, okay, right.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's always someone to vote for.
Do you think there should be a fine for not voting? When we look at the turnout, and the turnouts are always in and around, somewhere between 30 and 60% always.
Yeah.
So do you think there should be a fine?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because what's the point? It's our one right we have.
Mm-hmm.
To show our voices.
Yeah. Men, as they say all the time, the cliche, men died outside the GPO for our right to vote.
Exactly.
And women.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Thomas, do you ever think of that? Men and women died for your right to vote.
Of course there's people to vote for. There's names on the ballot.
Why didn't you vote?
What, did you not vote on something you believe in or a party you believe in or a direction the country might go? You just voted for an independent. It makes absolutely no sense.
I know what my...
He who built the road gets my vote.
Views
you know,
are,
not he who
will
do the best for the country.
But I know what my views are and I went with who I thought was the nearest to my views.
Yeah, but you just said you didn't know who you were going to vote for and you're very confused and then you just voted for an independent who had a nice name.
No, that's not what she said, by the way. She never mentioned having a nice name. She mentioned she voted for the person who correlated with her views.
But that's the problem because we don't vote with any idea what way we want the country to be run. It's parochial politics.
I know what way I'd like to see this country run properly, not with the government that we had.
But you didn't vote with any intention of getting the vote in that current government out.
Hold on. See, Thomas, you're not making sense. When you say vote to get that government out, you know, if everybody voted for an independent tomorrow, the government would be out, but everybody didn't. So there are, as you rightly said, there's a base of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil voters. That base is getting smaller because there's smaller parties now and there's a lot more independents than there ever was before. So the more and more independents and more smaller parties are, puts the government at threat, which means the government then have to form coalitions and they have to bring some of those smaller parties in. Now, they could bring Aintu in this time. I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I can see them bringing Labour and the Soc Dems in. They probably won't need them anyway. You know, they might drag a few independents in. But here's the thing. If nobody's there to challenge the government and nobody votes for those people who might be on the opposite side to the government, well, then we're never going to have the country run the way we want it to be run.
Yeah.
But we're never going to have the country run the way we want to.
That's a bit of a defeatist attitude, isn't it?
But at least you can give people a chance.
And now, like, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael are laughing at the electorate with the division amongst the electorate. You've got an endless amount of independents and 10 other political, or 8 other political parties, sorry, excuse me, 8 other political parties. It's divide and conquer. It shouldn't be that easy to set up a political party, in my opinion. You should have at least, you should have at least 10,000 registered members to at least set up a political party. The idea that a political
Where are you going to, and if I wanted to set up a political party tomorrow to challenge the government, let's say a conservative type party or a right-leaning party, where am I going to get 10,000 members from? I can't just invent them.
Get on the ground, canvas, campaign, start a movement, do something, not just go in and fill out a...
Do you think people haven't tried to do that already, Thomas? Do you think people haven't tried to do that?
It makes a mockery of the political system that anybody can just go in and set up a political party. It makes an absolute mockery of it.
That's the Constitution of Ireland. That's your democratic right. If you want to set up a political party tomorrow, you can. There's a couple of rules around it, but you pretty much can do it, or anybody can run for election. Anybody can run for election.
It's a democratic right that anybody can run for election, but it shouldn't be. It's not a democratic right that you can just set up a political party.
There is a criteria for setting up a political party, by the way. You can't just walk in off the road tomorrow and do it. You have to have a few members. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not that difficult. I'm not suggesting.
I know that there's a coming out here for one of the political parties. I won't say which one, but I know there's a coming out here, and the meeting is minuscule. Like, I won't put a number on it.
Yeah, 2 people at it or something. I get that. So, Danielle, you're disappointed with the results, so we're kind of stuck with it for the next 5 years. So you don't think the next 5 years is going to be any different to the last 5 years, no?
No. Can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
There could be another election.
I don't know. Yeah, I would have thought so, but with the amount of vote seats that Fianna Fáil have got, Fine Gael have got between them, I can't see that happening. But can I see this government lasting the full term of 5 years? No. Let me make a prediction for you. And this is a very doomsday prediction, right? I believe the country will go bankrupt within the next year.
You're spot on.
Yeah.
Because they're sending money left, right and centre.
No, not only that. Once Donald Trump gets into power and he puts tariffs on, brings a lot of American companies back to America, I think we're going to see a huge drop in our economy. Anyway, that's just my prediction. I hope that doesn't happen, by the way. But I think that's the prediction. And let me go to Owen. Owen, thank you, Danielle. Owen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you keeping?
Good. Owen, I hope my prediction doesn't come true, by the way. For our sake, because I don't believe this, the government that we have could deal with a bankrupt country. Anyway, get back to what Thomas says. You know, there was no one to vote for, and I was asking, should you get a fine if you don't vote?
You absolutely shouldn't get a fine, and I actually sympathise a little bit with Thomas. I don't agree with not voting. I think you have a moral obligation to vote, but I think fining someone is ridiculous. I think there's an obligation on the candidates and the parties to run good candidates. I think this election was called in 3 weeks. There was candidates coming out there in 3 weeks that no one had ever heard of. So how are you supposed to motivate the electorate to go out and vote if they haven't heard of these candidates?
Mm-hmm.
I think, so I'm from Galway East. Meet a candidate called Albert Dolan, who's only 26 for Fianna Fáil. He was very well known. He ran as a county councillor. He was very well known, and people liked him, and people got out to vote for him. In his constituency, or in his local town in Bonavay, and that's right, their turnout was at about 65% or 70%. And among other young people like me, a lot of people did go out to vote for him because he was young. They felt like they knew him. And that's why they went out.
And did he get elected?
He got elected easily.
Good.
He got elected.
Well, if you say he's a good man, well done to him.
But that's what I mean. If he wasn't there, and I actually think the turnout might have been higher because there was no Labour or Sock Dem candidates on the ballot, so that probably meant some less people didn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably a reason why Gerry Hutch did well is people felt, you know, like he was from the same background as them, and...
Well, I think Gerry Hutch did well because, of course, the media, of course, gave him plenty of publicity for the whole three weeks of the campaign.
But that's what I mean. People knew they had someone to go out to vote for. It wasn't just
much better candidates in that area than Gerry Hutch. I mean, Gerry Hutch has been out of this country for 20 years more or less, and he arrives back 3 weeks before an election. You know what I mean? What does he know?
Gerry Hutch is the worst candidate in the country. But people knew who he was. People felt like they could connect to him. Nobody can name a Jerry Hutch policy. Not one person can name a Jerry Hutch policy.
Well, no, not even Jerry Hutch could name a Jerry Hutch policy. Because he was asked three times yesterday at the counting centre what name one policy, and he just kept saying, I'm going to take my instruction from the people. That's all he kept saying. He didn't have any policies.
Well, that's what I mean. It's the job of the parties and the candidates on the ground to get themselves out there, get their views out there, show that they're fighting for the people to go out and vote for them, no matter what your views are. And I think there's a lot of...
So you don't agree with, you know, say, an Australian-type idea where you fine people for not voting?
No, I don't. Like, that sounds like a great idea when the elections aren't going the way that you agree with them. But you might find you've snookered yourself in when it's the other way around. So, no, I don't agree with that. It's
We're
in democracy if you want to vote.
Okay, thank you for that, Owen. Let me just go to Martin before I go to the news as well. Jerry, I'm going to have to come to you after the news. I do apologise, Jerry, all right? Martin, how you doing? You want to say something there?
Yeah.
I have 2 minutes, Martin, but I will come back to you after the news. You want to talk to Thomas?
2.6 Okay.
Go ahead.
Very quickly, Niall, you asked how am I doing. I'm depressed. Not surprised, but depressed. And I'm even more depressed listening to Thomas. Is he still there?
He is, yeah.
Hi, yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Thomas?
Far away.
Do you own a home? Do you own a home or do you live in a home? You do.
No, I own a home.
Okay. If you arrived home and you found that your home was in a blaze, it was on fire,
I'd call the fire brigade, then ring me insurance, yeah?
Okay, you'd call the fire brigade. Why would you call the fire brigade?
Because the house is on fire, boss.
Exactly. So you'd go to the effort of calling the fire brigade because you want to salvage something. Yet you wouldn't go out and vote on the same basis that you want to salvage something.
Can I ask you a question? If your home was fundamentally flawed, right, it was condemned, would you continue to live in it, or would you continue painting it, or would you continue furnishing it, or would you just leave and go elsewhere?
I wouldn't just paint it. I do things to make it better.
Thomas, listen to the answer. He said he'd fix it up and make it better.
So you fix up a house that should be condemned, that's structurally damaged, that you have no hope of salvaging. You'd put more money out of bad money.
If that's the case, I'd rebuild it. I'd make the effort to rebuild it. Even if I couldn't, I would make the effort to rebuild it because that's the moral thing to do. Your attitude is, it's not worth your effort. That's what it comes down to. How much research did you do on the people in your constituency that were running?
It's a lazy answer. It's a lazy answer and it's a lazy explanation because you think that I voted my whole life, every single election, and so have many other people. Like, and it's almost gaslighting and insulting to the electorate that you blame the electorate for not showing up and being disillusioned in a country where apparently we're one of the richest in Europe, but my generation in particular, people in their 30s, 40s, cannot afford a home, cannot afford to get married, cannot afford to have a child, and yet blame the electorate and just call them lazy for not going out and voting rather than actually pointing at the political system and the fragmentation of the parties and saying, you know what, maybe they should change. Not the lazy electorate, maybe they should change.
The electorate should change, exactly. The people on the ground.
Maybe the political parties who pop up who can't seem to agree on what toilet paper to use, let alone how to govern. But blame the lazy electorate. You know, I voted every. I know more about. I know a lot about politics, and I voted in every electorate since I was 18. But no, I'm lazy. That's the reason why I didn't vote, and that's the reason why lots of other people didn't vote because of laziness. That's a lazy answer.
Yeah, that is the reason. That is the reason.
Yeah, lazy
that's
answer.
What it comes down to.
It's a
You're
lazy
just disconnected.
Answer.
You don't think it's worth your while.
Do I sound disconnected? That's a lazy answer, and you're disconnected from how people are feeling.
You're obviously disconnected. If you didn't go out and vote, you're disconnected. You have taken the decision to disconnect yourself.
Well, do me a favour, all of you, actually, because I have to go into the news or I'll be disconnected from the radio station. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping, the number's 087-188-0008. Thomas and Martin, I'll get them to ring you back straight after the news. And Jerry, I will get them to ring you straight back after the news too, and I'll bring you all on.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.